Greetings. This is your next installment of Tech Law 10, where the law and information technology intersect. I'm Eric Sinrod from the San Francisco office of Duane Morris, and I'm pleased to say I have with me my partner in pseudo-crime, Jonathan Armstrong, who's normally based in London, but I understand, Jonathan, that right now you're in Budapest, and you want to tell us something about a snake.
Yes, I do, yeah, and greetings from Hungary. It's been an interesting trip, and it's a bit more pensive than perhaps normal, our Tech Law 10, I suppose informed by the environs. So the story that has really caught my eye and juxtapositioned with where I am at the moment is the Bronx Zoo cobra story, and it's quite a trivial story. So what happens is a cobra snake escaped from the Bronx Zoo in New York, and it started tweeting. So the zookeepers can't find it, but these Twitter messages kept coming, allegedly from the snake. And it's clear that the snake is a fan of, I guess, 80s popular culture. The snake's been caught, and there is now a campaign to rename the cobra. The cobra has retaliated by launching a campaign on his Twitter pages to rename the whole zoo on the basis that if they're going to rename him, he's going to rename the zoo. And he keeps he's posted things like he said he was at the top of the Empire State Building, where he said that the people looked like mice down below. And then he added quite sinisterly, delicious little mice. And when he was asked where he was caught, he said he was caught, and please don't sing it, Eric, somewhere between the moon and New York City. So he's got a good grasp of popular culture, this snake. But it sort of set me thinking, given where I am. I spoke yesterday at a conference, and apologies to the Hungarians for the mispronunciation, but I'll pronounce it the anglicized way, at Magyar Telecom. Now, Magyar Telecom is effectively what used to be the Hungarian post office's telecommunications arm. And obviously was part of the Soviet Empire. It's now owned by Deutsche Telekom, and I was fortunate to speak at a fantastic conference that the American Chamber had organized there with the Deputy Prime Minister and the U.S. Ambassador. But one of the things that struck me was, if you like, almost like the democratization of information. It seemed to me it was relevant. This is the building, hulking great Soviet-style building where, you know, the five-year plans would be issued, and it had relics of the Ministry of Truth all over it. And yet at the same time, it was a building, now Magyar Telekom is part of Deutsche Telekom, that provides mobile Twitter in Hungary, that provides trivial stories about snakes on Twitter. And it seemed to me that it was just an indication of how far these former Soviet countries have gone. There was a speaker yesterday who was talking about the former Soviet states really still almost being adolescent. You know, if they were children, they'd be coming out of their teens since the Berlin Wall fell. And against that, it seemed to me to be very interesting. I mean, it's obvious that the Eastern European countries have been earlier adopters of things like Twitter and some of the social networking applications, partly because there was a lot of migrant workers traditionally when Europe enlarged, the EU enlarged, came to Western Europe to work. But the other aspect also, and we've talked about this before, Eric, is a little more sinister. There is a lot of talent that used to sit in the Soviet military and in the Soviet secret services that is now being used to take down sites. We've had another range of huge website attacks, and often this is connected with former Soviet operatives with little better to do and not great ways of making money. So I wondered if you had a perspective on any of that from the US, Eric, or is this just the ramblings of an old European faced with the new Europe?
Or the ramblings of my partner who's tired from jet lag traveling across. No, these are all interesting points. I guess there's several things that resonate with me. You know, we've talked about the old cartoon, you know, on the internet, nobody knows your dog. Of course, now we could say on the internet, you know, anybody can be a snake. And,
yeah,
you know, that can be taken several different ways. On the one hand, you know, a snake can now Twitter, supposedly, about its whereabouts, wherever it goes. And that's now happening across the board. We're all living our lives out loud and in the open, whether you're on Twitter or Facebook or anywhere else. You know, you can say, hi, I'm John. I'm now having lunch at this particular restaurant right on Times Square. Hi, I'm Sally. I'm on a train going from point A to point B. Not really even necessarily communicating that much substantive information, but just letting people know where you are and what you're doing. And why that might be of interest to some people, who knows. But then, you know, you go to another point, and that is, you know, sort of the forces of evil versus potentially the forces of not evil. And, you know, that's always a struggle. And I've said this before, I believe in these podcasts, and I've said it in talks and speeches otherwise. You know, there are always going to be people out there, a segment of the population that want to potentially profit and get advantage out of doing the wrong thing. And you make the correct point that, you know, there are sophisticated technologists, if you will, who are constantly devising new ways to wreak some havoc on the Internet, whether it's taking down websites or stealing people's electronic information. It's happening, and there has to be a counterbalance so that, you know, the forces of protection or government, you know, can try to meet the onslaught.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, we've been suffering a number of waves of different types of attacks, distributed denial of service attacks, and others. So it's we have to be vigilant. You have any final responsive thoughts, Jonathan?
Yeah, I guess I've probably got two takeaways for businesses. The first is clearly that the Eastern Europe, if you're any sort of social media, a new media application, is not something that you can ignore. And the second, I guess, is in its ideal, I know it never worked like this, but the whole Soviet environment was meant to be that the state looked after the people. And it seems to me one lesson we've learned on the internet is that there is no state to look after corporations and individuals or even snakes who want to protect their online reputation. It's up to you to go and protect your own information, to look after your reputation online. And if you're a snake or a major corporation, the job is yours, I think, and that's perhaps one of the messages from this week's developments.
Indeed. Well, on that note, on that cautionary note, we can bid our audience adieu. Please do let us know of other topics you'd like us to cover in the future. We do very much appreciate the comments. We're now circling the globe, not only on the west coast of the United States, but we have Jonathan beaming in from different locations, and I might be doing the same next week. So thank you very much. I'm Eric Sinrod, ejsinrod at duanemorris.com. Jonathan?
That's Jonathan Armstrong, jparmstrong at duanemorris.com. We're on LinkedIn. We're on Twitter. Some of us do a bit of Facebook. We're not yet in any online snake-related fora, although we'll look out for that as time comes.
Now, Jonathan, can you tell us goodbye in Hungarian?
I'm afraid not, no. All I can say is I'm off for a bit of salami. That's about as local as I get, I'm afraid.
All right. There you have it. Thank you very much. Next time.
Take care. Bye.